Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And this week, we're going to be discussing the FA Trophy, as we'll be joined by some very happy managers from this past weekend in the second round of the trophy, as we'll be joined by the managers at City of Liverpool and Walsall Wood. Plus, we're also going to be talking about the league, as we'll be joined by the managers at Workington and FC United. And speaking of the league, we're going to have a big fixture preview with Thomas Feeney, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, later in the show as well, for all of this weekend's matches in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. But let's kick the show off where we normally kick the show off, with Mr. James Hayes, social media officer from the Northern Premier League. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. Let's kick things off with the second round of the FA Trophy. And first things first, big congratulations to City of Liverpool. What a result. A 3-1 win over Buxton. Who saw that coming?
I don't think a lot of people saw that coming at all. I mean, obviously, Buxton this time of year is a very, very hard place to go, especially on the natural turf pitch. Also, the City of Liverpool has got there, get the result that they did, two divisions above. Fantastic effort there. I mean, you can say that with all the four sides that got involved in the FA Trophy this weekend, in fairness. But City of Liverpool getting ready for the furthest they've been in the FA Trophy. They didn't have the greatest of starts in the league campaign, but obviously just proven a good trophy run, or a good cup run in general, to his fortunes, and they've found themselves on a good run altogether now. So a great result against Buxton, and the form's changing.
City Liverpool in the third round of the FA Trophy. The draw was made on Monday, and City Liverpool will be hosting Hartlepool United on Saturday, the 9th of December. A massive game for the club. And let's hear now from the manager at City Liverpool. It's a big welcome back to the show to Paul McNally. Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. And, well, blimey, what a result that is on Saturday. How was your afternoon up at Silverlands?
It was a great afternoon, to be fair. It was one of the best I've had in football up to now. I was expecting a really tough game, and we did have that, but I thought my men were magnificent on the day.
Now, when you watch the highlights back, the VO camera is going left to right, right to left. It's very, very windy. We know how high Silverlands is. How did you adapt to the conditions better than the home side did?
Well, I'm not too sure whether we won the toss or not. I couldn't remember whether the lads told me, but we were defending against the wind the first half. I fully expected them to come at us whatever way we were going. We rolled it out, I think we're quite comfortable, I felt. There was probably one or two chances they had in the first half, which is to be expected, obviously. And then we had a chance of our own, which we didn't take. And I thought, stay in the game as long as we can. There was a spell about 5 or 10 minutes before half-time where they were stronger. And I felt it was vital we went in 0-0 at least. And we kept that 0-0. And then we changed our tact in the second half. We went a little bit more attacking as we had the wind. And first minute, straight after half-time, we've took the lead. And from then onwards, it was a foregone conclusion. I thought we were all over them. We were the far better team. But you know what it's like at that level. They're a good side, obviously. And like I say, we did know they'd get chances. And obviously, they took one when it was 2-1. But then it was great we scored in the last minute.
I mean, we could look back now and go, Danny Mitchell there popping up right at the end to seal the deal. But those closing stages, it must have been a bit nervy because, like you say, you dominated the game pretty much, and we know the level, we know Buxton, and you know their quality side, so it must have been a little bit nervy.
Yeah, it was. When it gets to the 90th minute and the board goes up and you're thinking 1 minute or let's just kill it sort of thing, and 7 minutes comes up and you're like, 7 minutes, this is tempting fate too much, do you know what I mean? And we scored straight from that though. once the board went up 7 minutes, I said, you're messing 7 minutes, where have you got that from? And then we've gone and scored three from it. So I said, you can have your 7 minutes now.
didn't you do well, though, with the finish?
Oh, fantastic. Danny had not long come on. And he's got it and took it really well on his chest. Fantastic 70-yard ping by Calvin in goal. Danny's took it on his chest and with his weaker foot, left foot, and he's put it in. And I think you've seen the joyous occasion that the celebrations followed and ensued from that.
Well, we'll get to the next game in a second when it comes to the FA Trophy, because obviously as you go further into the competition, you start getting some really, really big clubs. Disrespect to Buxton, but I think Hartlepool are in another league, aren't they? What's the mood at the club like at the moment? Because this is brilliant, isn't it, really?
It is. There's quite a bit of a buzz about the club again. Even last night, we've played last night and we had a decent following. And you can feel that that sense of an occasion around the club and the buzz. Do you know what I mean? There's something around there. There's a bit of an atmosphere, and it's good, and everyone's thriving on it. And that's what you play football for, and you're involved in football for, aren't you? Days like what we're getting, days what we've had, and occasions like what we're creating for the time being, and that can only bring positivity and breed success, hopefully.
And speaking of last night, obviously it's a point away at Widnes, but it's a late goal though. So I'm imagining it just that just keeps the spring going, even though it's 2 points dropped. It's kind of, you know, it's still grabbing a point, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that I'm not sure on the stats, but I think we've won defeat in the last 11 or 12 games, something like that. Which, when you look at it like that, put it into context of the teams we've played during that time, it'd be Lancaster, Stamford at home, Buxton away. Throw them into a kids' grove away. We've played a lot of tough teams during that time, and I think Staleybridge were the only team to beat us in that time last week. So the lads have been performing miracles, to be fair, and I take my hat off to them, applaud them. They've performed really well, and last night was probably a hangover from Saturday. Although I'm not paying any disrespect to them, they did a good side with us, and it was a tough game.
Well, next up it's Nantwich and Hanley. But the last time we spoke, it was after the Stamford game. So I'm hoping that this, you know, doing the interview early once again does the trick. So I won't speak to you, just to say, Paul, I won't speak to you ahead of the Hartlepool match. But how are preparations going for that game? Because that's going to be a big game at Bootle, isn't it? Certainly.
Yeah. It'll probably be the biggest game in the history of our club at the minute. With the expectations of their fans. I believe they have 1,500 fans for an away game against York on Saturday just gone. So it's a bit of a big operation all round, and it's good. It's good. It's a good achievement for some of the people at the club that have been here and see an ex-Football League club coming to our grounds, and we're competing with them. And it's not a senior cup game. It's not a friendly. It's an actual competitive fixture, where both teams will be going out to win it, and we'll go to give our all.
Yeah, my tip is, if you want to get a car park space, get there really, or even pre-book, best pre-books.
Probably go on the Thursday night and keep it there.
Try some of the side roads. They're quite good occasionally at Bootle. But anyway, Paul, obviously, I mean, it's not just the occasion, is it? It's on the pitch as well. It's a chance for your side to see, you know, what it's like a few divisions above. But it's for yourself as well, isn't it? I mean, this is a pretty big deal, isn't it?
It is. It's I said it in the last round, and pitting our wits against National League North managers and National League managers now, full-time clubs basically. And look, all we're going to ask is we just go and pay our due respects to them, we'll do our own work on them, and we'll be as honest as they come and give a good account of ourselves and see where it takes us. And if it takes us into the next round, that would be even more fantastic. If it doesn't and the journey stops there, we'll have had a great ride, and then we'll be back to the league then the week later. But I'm not foreseeing it ending. I'm just trying to see where we can go.
Well, here's hoping it's to the fourth round.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Well, Paul McNally, manager of City Liverpool, a big congratulations for that brilliant display and performance last week against Buxton. All the best in the coming matches back in the league, and certainly a big, big good luck against Hartlepool in December. And we'll catch up again very soon.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Paul McNally there, manager of City Liverpool, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And sticking with those step four sides who progressed through to the third round of the FA Trophy, what a result for Warsaw Wood. A 1-0 draw away at Hemel Hempstead. Warsaw Wood winning 5-3 on penalties, James. Warsaw Wood through to the third round of the FA Trophy. I mean, this is the furthest they've ever gone anyway, because it's the first time they've ever been in the competition. They take on Colville Town in the next round. This is a good trophy run, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment I've got a FCHD website open at the moment to see what Walsall's record was in the FA Vars, because obviously you promote from that. The record in that is actually pretty good. So in the last couple of years, they've played Short Lane before they got promoted to the NPL, got beat by Warrington Rylands in a semi-final back in the 2020 season. So again, this is just continuing the form they had in the FA Vars, and obviously first season in the NPL, proving themselves in the Midlands division at this moment in time, and again showing what they're capable of doing. So looking at the teams to beat so far this season, a lot of giant killings in terms of Ilkeston, Geisley as well early in this campaign. So for Walsall, well, the sky's the limit for them there, really, particularly the next round draw they've got as well.
Yeah, a brilliant result for Walsall Wood. And let's hear from the manager at Walsall Wood. And it's a big welcome back to the show to Ian Long. Well, Ian, a big thank you for joining us. And what a result that was against Hemel Hempstead at the weekend. How was your afternoon?
Yeah, it was great. Nice to get back involved again after a little bit of a short layoff. But yeah, brilliant way to get back and got me buzzing again, which is nice.
Obviously, you've come in, you've been in post what, just over a week or so. There's obviously been chopping and changing with the squad, with Harry leaving the club and having a little spell with no manager in charge. So it's always going to be a bit up in the air. But how have you settled into things at the club?
Good, yeah. The chairman's making it nice and easy. He's really backed us with everything we want to do so far, which is nice. We've had, a bit of chopping and changing. A few individuals wanted to go and play for Harry at Hensford, which I get. You know, it's... they've had a bit of success at step five with him and their loyalties are to him. I did say to the players when I first addressed them after the Cozil game, we didn't take that in any official capacity. It was just addressing them after the game, that I understood it and they may want to go with H, but just to be apply themselves right while we were there. And if we can replace them, the quicker we replace them, the better for everybody all concerned, really. And a couple have fell by the wayside. It left us a little bit short on the ground, in all honesty, for Saturday, and there was a few square pegs in round holes and everything. But, you know, I was fearing the worst a little bit, I'm not going to lie, but fair play to the players. They've really, really dug deep and, you know, I think they deserve the result. I thought we had the best chances in the game as well.
It's an interesting situation, isn't it? Because this happens all the time in non-league football, but you've got the core of a squad there who came together against Geisley in the first round of the FA Trophy, and Walsall Wood won that one on penalties as well. So, you know, when it comes to that dressing room, clearly there's something about it, isn't there? Because as a club, it's done the same trick again against Hemel Hempstead.
Absolutely. I was actually at the Geisley game, and that was one of the reasons I took the job, really, because I could see that they got something. You know, there were some decent players, and it wasn't going to need open heart surgery to get things right. Obviously, we're disappointed, like I said, to lose a few of the players that were playing on a regular basis, but expected as well. But certainly, you know, watching them against Geisley, that was the thought of the thing that made me fancy having a crack at it, really, because I'd turned a couple of step four jobs opportunities down already. But yeah, it looked like we could work with that group of players and everything. And they certainly showed that against Geisley and again against Hemel Hempstead in the trophy. Just got to make sure we start getting some league points on the board now, and their bread and butter is the league, really.
Yeah, I'll come to the league, obviously, in a second, because, you know, you had a game postponed this week, so the games in hand are starting to mount up a little bit with the trophy run as well. But what an afternoon against Hemel Hempstead. Callum Griffin scoring with 15 minutes or so left to get the equaliser, and it's a good goal as well. And I think before that, you had that great counter-attack, so unlucky not to go 2-1 up, I'd suggest. I mean, how nervy was that second half in particular in the closing stages of the game?
Well, we went down to 10 men. We put one of the youth teamers on, like I say. We were down to the bare bones, to be fair. We got a youth teamer that came off the bench, and he got himself sent off, a bit of exuberance, really, lunged into a tackle. No arguments at all. I thought it was the right decision by the referee. And there was probably around about 7 minutes to go then, with probably, I think, he played 7 minutes injury time as well. So we dug in. We went five at the back and four with nobody up front, and we just kept clearing our lines and heading things away. And the two centre-halves, Asa Charlton, who I actually played in the same side with many, many moons ago, they were superb, and they just headed everything away, and we managed to see it out. There was one little scare, which you'd expect in 15 minutes of hanging on, where the keepers, the number two keeper had come out and sprung really well. So we, it was nerve-wracking, and like I say, we did cause some problems ourselves. I think in the first half we had the better of the chances, and then we had like a couple of breakaways in the second half where a bit more clinical, and we could have nicked another one. But yeah, players really dug in, and they were shattered after. Like I said, we lost that game on Tuesday with a waterlogged pitch, but in all honesty, I don't think it was the worst thing in the world, because we had a few drinks on the way back on the coach. It was a good coach journey back, with getting the music on and a few songs and everything. So it's a great start for us, and real proud of the players' achievement, really.
you mentioned the bread and butter stuff, the league. Rugby Town on Saturday, Rushden Diamonds midweek. You've got a game against Corby coming up as well. How crucial is it to use this energy that's clearly there, as you've already mentioned, into the league games coming up?
It is important. I've been here before. I've had a couple of cup runs, one with Stourbridge and one with Alverchurch. We had obviously games in hand because of them cup runs, but we never converted them into points, and it can sometimes distract you in a negative way. We've got to make sure that we use it as positive as we possibly can, and get points on the board, because the season's in the balance at the moment, which way it's going to go in terms of our league form. If we can go and win these next few games and win these games in hand, it could propel us up and around the playoffs. If we go and lose them, we could be in a relegation battle. So it's finally balanced at the moment, and it's going to be really important how we can focus on them league games and making sure we get some points on the board.
And that would be good. That would tee up nicely as well for the Colville game, because that's coming up. And I won't speak to you before that game because I don't want to jinx it for you, Ian. But, I mean, it's such an incredible run the club's been on, beating Hensford, beating Belper, beating Ilkeston, beating Geisley, now beating Hemel Hempstead. Colville have got to be worried, haven't they?
Yeah, we know a little bit about Colville. They're a good side. Obviously, they missed out on promotion to the National League on goal difference last season. I know a couple of their lads that have played for me in the past. They're not having the greatest of form in terms of league, so they'll be looking at the trophy game as a bit of a break from perhaps that, and they'll obviously be wanting to progress. They've got a decent cup pedigree themselves over the years in the trophy and in the FA Cup, so it's going to be a tough one. We're under no illusions that we'll be going into it as massive underdogs, but we've got home advantage, and hopefully a few come in and give us some support, because it's arguably one of the biggest games in the club's history already.
That's it, isn't it? I'm imagining the volunteers and the committee and the chairman and the players who were at the club last season. They must be pinching themselves at the moment with everything that's going on.
Yeah, I think they are. I'm still getting to know everybody, to be honest. But yeah, I think everybody's excited. Say it's brilliant for us as a new management team to go in there and get that result, and that just that coach journey home just gives us a good chance to bed in with the players and build a relationship and a bond with the players, and we couldn't have asked for a more positive start, really. And what the lads have took so much on board in just a few training sessions as well with us. We ask for certain things to be done, and they've been really, really good and receptive to us, and they've took everything on board, and it's really, really pleasing. And quite shocked a little bit as well, because like I say, they'd had success under Harry, and obviously he'd have had his ideas, and we've come in with new ideas, but they've really have taken instructions on board really well, and long may that continue.
And last question, Ian, just about the upcoming matches. Obviously, I think during this time as well, you're going to be continuing to shape the squad, but how much are you looking forward to these upcoming league games, and especially that FA Trophy match as well in December? How much are you looking forward to this challenge?
Yeah, it's a new thing for us, getting to know teams and clubs at this level, but we are looking forward to it. It's obviously the FA Trophy game is the really one that we're looking forward to and we're really excited about, but we've got to really concentrate on getting their bread and butter and getting them 3 points against Rugby on Saturday, and then the three against Rushden and Diamonds away. And I think then if we can do that, it brings us into that Colville game in good confidence and in good form. That's really important going into these games. In the past, that's not quite happened at previous clubs, where we've gone into big cup games and perhaps not had the focus on the league games, and then we're going into them games in poor form, and that affects you on the game. You can't just turn it on and turn it off like a tap. You've got to be consistent with your form, and that will give you confidence going into their bigger games, and that's what we've got to concentrate now on these league games and getting them points on the board.
Well, fingers crossed, Ian, for everyone at the club, for that Colville Town match in early December in the third round of the FA Trophy. Big congratulations to everyone for that brilliant result last weekend in the second round. All the best of the coming matches, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you.
Ian Long there, manager of Warsaw Wood, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Let's go to Macclesfield now, and this is a brilliant result, isn't it? Bit of revenge for the FA Cup a few weeks back. Alfreton Town 2, Macclesfield 4. Brilliant result for Macclesfield through to the third round. And what a tie at the Tameside Stadium. They take on Curzon Ashton, James.
Yeah, well, obviously going there with a bit of that different attitude this time, different manager. going with a different style. So Kane Drummond's back up and scoring. Obviously, we'll talk about the league result in a couple of minutes' time anyway.
Should we throw it in now? Because we might as well, because it's a sensational result, isn't it? A 6-0 win over Atherton Colls. Macclesfield now up to fourth in the league table. And Macclesfield, it's four league games unbeaten now, including three wins.
10 goals from the two games. And again, as we mentioned before, Atherton get over that little bit of a bogey team and prove that they can compete with the National League sides themselves. Now they're unbeaten in six altogether in League and Cup. Settles themselves in, ready for the fact they're going to go to the former Curzon National, which we remember from the Northern Premier League. It's going to be a different atmosphere there for them compared to Alfreton. And again, they're going to be taking a lot of fans down to Curzon National.
Yeah, it's a good run that Macclesfield are on at the moment. And for Radcliffe James, a 4-2 win at Farsley Celtic. They're through to the next round, where they'll be hosting Redditch United.
Macclesfield had to fight back in that game a little bit. Obviously, they took the lead, but Farsley came back into it. But Judy Overall hat-trick sealed the deal, and the third goal, obviously, quick 9 seconds from one end to the other, put themselves into the hat. But at the same time there, let's bring the midweek result in. That would be a little bit of a hangover in Whitby Town. Late penalty from a mistake in the penalty area to seal the match there for the first home defeat of the season. But Macclesfield, just, you can see what the attitude is there at this moment in time. But other than the defeat last night, I don't think anyone can be too upset there considering everything else.
Yeah, and of course, we will catch up with either Jono or Bernard ahead of that game on the 9th of December. We'll also catch up with Paul Carden, the manager at Nantwich Town. This is a great result, isn't it? We obviously heard from Paul Carden last week, hosting Chester at the Weaver Stadium on Saturday, a 0-0 draw, which is a great result, and even better results on penalties. Nantwich Town winning 4-2. Nantwich hosting York City in the next round. Congratulations to everyone at Nantwich Town.
Great crowd there in the afternoon as well. But Nantwich held their own against them at the same time too. But let's not forget that Nantwich have a good trophy side themselves. I think they've made the semi-final before COVID. So tough asking New York City coming up there, but they'll be right up for that, I reckon.
Yeah, a brilliant result for Nantwich Town. And obviously we will catch up with Paul Carden ahead of that game against York City on the 9th of December. That's all the victorious sides in the FA Trophy. Commiserations to Matlock Town. They were defeated by Curzon Ashton. Also commiserations to Harbour Town. Close to 700 there at Harbour Town for their game against Chelmsford City, but Chelmsford City going through. And a big commiserations as well to Stafford Rangers, defeated by Brackley Town. On penalties, 0-0, it finished after 90 minutes, but Brackley Town winning 4-2 in the penalty shootout. But Stafford Rangers there showing a bit of fight after what happened last week with the departure of Matt Hill. But wow, what a weekend that was. Macclesfield, Nantwich, Warsaw Wood, City of Liverpool and Radcliffe all progressing through. James, after that little trophy chat there, let's talk about the league. We've already covered off the defeat for Radcliffe midweek. Radcliffe, as we head towards this weekend's matches, a 7-point lead up at the top of the table. Warrington Rylands, though, are behind them. They were tied last week with Worksop Town. That's been sorted now after last week's results for Warrington Rylands, a 2-1 win over Worksop Town. Worksop Town, 3 points now behind Warrington Rylands, but Worksop do have that game in hand, of course. But that was a big result for Rylands.
Not just for Rylands, I think Radcliffe were having one eye on that result at the same time too. I expect it was to be a draw until the Adama Sidibe header later on in the game. So obviously Worksop Town, that was their first defeat in 8. But a very, very tough game from what I've seen in the highlights with both sides there. So it could have gone each way until the late header, really.
Macclesfield there in 4th, 2 points behind Worksop Town and 2 points inside the playoff positions. In 5th position, and we'll cover this off with Thomas Feeney shortly when we do the fixture preview, is Guiseley. Guiseley were beaten on Saturday by FC United by 3-2. Brilliant result, that one, for FC United. Their first win in the league since early October. So that ended a bit of a drought there for FC United. But Guiseley bouncing back in a big way on Tuesday night, beating Matlock Town by 4-0. I've not seen the goals from Tuesday night's game, but I can safely say that Ekpolo, the second goal for Guiseley on Saturday afternoon at Broaders Park, is a brilliant strike from Ekpolo. And he did follow that up, Prince Ekpolo, with another goal on Tuesday evening as well. So Guiseley there bouncing back on Tuesday for FC United. And we'll go to FC now because, as we mentioned, a 3-2 win over Guiseley on Saturday. They followed that up on Tuesday night with a 3-0 draw against Bamber Bridge. Bit of a thriller, this one. Bamber Bridge going down to 10 men in that game as well, with Michael Potts getting a second yellow card. pretty entertaining game, to say the least, on a Tuesday night in Lancashire. And let's hear now from the manager of FC United following that four-point week for the club. It's a big welcome back to the show to Neil Reynolds. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us, and a decent week getting back to winning ways against Guernsey on Saturday, and a hard-earned point away at Bamber Bridge on Tuesday. How's it going at FC?
Yeah, it's good, Ben. Obviously, we had a sticky time in October where we couldn't seem to win. You know, lots of injuries, lots of suspensions, lack of form. Some lads coming back from injury still needed to find the feet with the game time. But delighted. You know, we travelled away to Poland only a couple of weeks ago to play in the Phoenix Trophy, and we thought this would be a really good team bonding experience and also an opportunity to win. And we all said that if we can get that win, you know, maybe we can build on it. And we went off to Krakow and we won 4-1. And then since returning, you know, we got a scrappy point away at Lancaster. We then followed that up with a really good performance against Guiseley, and then went to a really good Bamber Bridge side on Tuesday night, come away with a point. So all in all, since the beginning of the Krakow journey, we've been impressed with our form.
I was going to mention the Phoenix Trophy, because it's 99% of our listeners who support other football clubs won't necessarily understand what it's all about. But basically, you get to go off to these European adventures with the supporters, and it's a great event. Obviously, FC have won it in the past, and it does bring everything together again, doesn't it? And it gives you a chance to regroup.
It's an incredible competition, you know, and people who are unaware of it, you know, or what it stands for. It's, you know, about making friends across Europe and fan-owned football teams coming together. I think we've visited 10 cities now in the last, you know, nearly 3 years. And like you said, you've just alluded to, we did win the competition in Rimini a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, we fell short last year to Scold, but we did get a chance to play at the San Siro. And then this year's competition started, and we've been joining our group with teams from Krakow and Paris. So I think any team or any manager or any staff or any fan that gets to go and watch or play, you know, across Europe, it can only be a good thing. And, you know, for our club, from where we've come from, you know, if you think of where our fans have been over the years watching Manchester United, you know, they're now getting their opportunity to go and, you know, go and support and watch the team that they support, FC United, across Europe and at home when we play at Broadhurst Park. So I can't see any negatives with the competition. And like you say, it's a good team bonding experience. And you know, when we threw together a new squad in the summer, it's things like the Krakow experience that brings everything together.
I am the Dennis Bergkamp of the FC United media team, by the way, dear listener. I don't go to the European aways. I don't do the flying. But since the Krakow win, you know, we're throwing the Lancaster game as well, because not many teams get anything at the Giant Axe. And do you feel like the team's turned a corner now as we head towards the winter months?
Yeah, I think we needed an element of luck away at Lancaster. You know, they threw a lot at us second half. We found the pitch difficult, but we were desperate to follow up the Krakow win and not lose. And I think when Norris pulled it wide with about 15 minutes to go, you know, a certain goal scoring opportunity or a chance that should have been created, I thought maybe we come away from here with a point. We did do. You know, we trained really well. We then obviously played Guiseley at home, which, who were a fantastic side, but we won in the 94th minute. Again, showed loads of character. And then goes to Bamber Bridge on Tuesday. So in terms of turning the corner, have we? We can say we've gone 4 unbeaten, but we want to go 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 unbeaten and start climbing that league table. And we've got to, you know, the next up is Matlock on Saturday.
Yeah, and speaking of Matlock, obviously Matlock with Jonathan Margetts this season, plenty of goals scored, but they've conceded more or less the same as what FC United have. And that leads me on to my next point, because there was questions at last month's MPL show. FC United were missing Curtis Jones. He's back now. You've also acquired Danny Lafferty as well. So do you feel like the defence has been shored up as well over the last month?
Well, I mean, all managers will say, you know, they'll look at their own players and obviously pay superlatives towards them. But I think Curtis Jones is up there, you know, with the best two or three centre-halves in the league. And so when you've got no CJ for best part of 5 or 6 weeks, you're not going to be as strong. And Curtis is just coming back from injury now. So like Charlie Munro, who's out for 5 or 6 weeks, it takes time to get back up to match sharpness. CJ's played the last two games in 72 hours. So, you know, he's feeling it a bit. But, you know, we're a much stronger side when Curtis Jones plays. But, you know, touch on Danny Lafferty. We knew we needed to strengthen the defensive unit. You know, we lost Jan Palinkas for the next 3 or 4 months, who's got his ankle in a boot. We'd lost Curtis Jones. Charlie Oliver's played every single minute since coming to the football club. So we just needed to improve our options, and Laff became available. We brought him in, and, you know, he's quickly become a fan's favourite. And hopefully now he's finding his form, because he's, you know, he dropped out of the level of football to go and play with Berry, and now he's getting back up to form, and, you know, he's doing really well. But it gives us options. And, you know, when Yam returns, you know, hopefully we'll have four really good centre-halves. But, you know, you're only as good as your best players, and any manager will tell you that. And teams at any level need the best players available. And, you know, go back to Curtis Jones, when he's not fit, we're not as good.
Max Woodcock, though, a new loanee signing, he scored on Tuesday night, and he was alongside Dante Gabbidon and Anil Berkey when Hyde United played FC United, was impressed by Gabbidon. So there is plenty going forward as well.
We've got pace at the top end of the pitch. You know, Max Woodcock joins us from Crewe. You know, he's just extended his loan deal now to the 2nd of January. He's come in, he's learned, he's been patient, he's sat on the bench for a month. Started the game the other night after some impressive performances from the bench, and, you know, took his goal early. But I thought his whole overall play was, he was threatening, he was lively, he was strong, he was quick, he was direct. Put Gabbidon next to him, you've got pace, electricity, you know, electric pace that Dante gives us. So, you know, that's what we want. We can stretch teams at the top end. And, you know, when your two centre-forwards are both scoring, as they did on Tuesday night, that bodes well. But, you know, if one of them drops forward, Max Cain will be, you know, right on the shoulders to go and take his shirt back.
And last question, Neil, just about this weekend. Obviously, FC United against Matlock Town, always a good encounter. Just your closing thoughts about this match, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, listen, we started the season at Broadhurst Park. I think we were unbeaten in five. Then we went for a sticky patch, and we couldn't win there. And, you know, a couple of poor performances against Atherton and Hyde. But then, you know, we bounced back, and the, you know, the noise that was generated last week at Broadhurst Park against guys that was immense. You know, close to 1,800 on. I'm sure that people were pleased with what they saw, and they'll come back this Saturday. You know, can we get close to 2,000? Who knows? But when we can get that crowd behind us, you know, the 12th man, and get everyone enjoying the football, which we try and do week in, week out, then we're a force for anybody. And we've shown that this season, taking Radcliffe to the wire in the trophy, beating Macclesfield, beating Worksop, beating Guiseley. So we know that on our day that we're as good as anything, but we've just got to make sure that consistently we have our day. And, you know, we're looking forward to taking on like a side that's going to be smarting from Tuesday night. Always a good game of football between Matlock and FC United. So hopefully come 3 o'clock, you know, you're going to have two teams ready for it, and we can go and give a really good account of ourselves. And it's not only the Saturday, Ben, for me, because if people aren't aware, FC United women are in the FA Cup on Sunday, and we've got the annual general meeting at the football club on Sunday. So it's a huge weekend for the football club. And if we can kick it off with putting on a positive performance and trying to get 3 points, follow that with the general meeting on Sunday, and then followed up with a, you know, humdinger of a game when the women play Hull in the FA Cup. So, you know, all in all, it should be a good weekend for FC United.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a reminder to everyone, FC United have never been to the third round of the FA Cup in any of the FA Cups. So, big game on Sunday, as Neil rightly points out. And Neil Reynolds, FC United manager, big thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us on this week's show. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Thanks, Ben. Great to catch up. Cheers.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. So FC United this past week with 4 points, a bit higher up the table. Hyde United didn't play at the weekend. They're 1 point outside the playoffs, as are Ashton United. Ashton United with a 2-2 draw against Ilkeston Town on Tuesday night. Ilkeston going down to 10 men in that game with about half an hour or so left to play, but all the goals came in the first half in that match there. Bit of a close game to be expected between these two, and I think all the games between teams in and around the playoff line down to probably FC United and Bamber Bridge, they're likely to be this close. That's just the way the season's panning out, it looks like.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, I think Ashton United will be a bit more gutted to miss a chance going into the playoffs, obviously on the fact of the guys' result on the Saturday as well. But again, at the same point, Ilkeston have to hold a point against Ashton United. They'll be happy with that under circumstances too.
Well, a 2-2 draw for Ilkeston on Tuesday night. On Saturday, they were beaten, though, by Morpeth Town by 2-1. So as you mentioned there, James, it'll be welcome that Ilkeston have bounced back there against the team around that playoff line. A bit further down the table, and Gainsborough Trinity, a good result for them. A 2-1 win over Bradford Park Avenue, James. And it's opened up with the draw that Bamber Bridge got. There's a 7-point gap now between 17th place Bamber Bridge and Bradford Park Avenue in 18th. That feels like a big gap.
Yeah, you look at it in the last couple of weeks. I mean, obviously, I'm going to mention Everton and Stafford a bit more, and they're still 5 points from safety at this moment in time as well. I know there's a lot of football to play. But yeah, for Bradford Park Avenue, a bit unlucky with that result there. I mean, great strike from Shanks to get up and running. But for Gainsborough Trinity at the same time, just keeps themselves out of trouble a little bit. They're still unbeaten at home this season. All it takes is for some of them teams going a good winning run. So for Bradford Park Avenue, 2 wins. The back up towards Bamber Bridge FC United. four to five, I think they've got to play some of the mid-table sides coming up soon as well, looking at the fixtures. Don't forget, Basford United, a great draw with Macclesfield last week as well. So, yeah, Stafford and Aberdeen might be 5 points from safety at the moment. Four wins changes all that. And don't forget, Stafford have just got to bring in a new management team. So you're going to have that new management bounce come in.
Well, Basford United, they were beaten by Workington on Saturday by 3-0. That's a big result for Workington because it just, I think we said this a couple of weeks ago about FC and Bamber Bridge and Workington, maybe looking over the shoulders ever so slightly. It's a big game away from home for Workington at a team who've been pretty good at Greenwich Avenue this season, and a 3-0 win for Workington. That's some results on Saturday. Let's hear from the manager now at the West Cumbrian side, and it's a big welcome back to the show to Danny Granger. Well, Danny, a big thank you for joining us, and a big congratulations for that win on Saturday afternoon, a 3-0 win against Basford. How was it?
Very good. The performance we've been looking for, to be honest with you, the last few weeks. We've had bits of the performance in previous games, but it was probably a complete performance from us. Probably caught Basford at a good time. Obviously, they've made a few signings since we played them. Obviously, a tough night at Macclesfield where they've probably gone right the way through the mill to get a point at Macclesfield on a Tuesday night. And then, obviously, coming back and playing us, it's always tough after them types of games. So, look, we knew it was probably a good time to get them, but with the signings we brought in, the training week we'd had together, I think it was just a culmination of them all and putting in a fantastic performance and taking nothing away from the boys, really, because they were excellent on the day. And speaking to their manager after the game, they probably had a little bit of a spell in the first 15 minutes against us without really creating anything. But bar that, we were very dominant and probably could have won it by a couple of more goals, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and that for those who've not seen the highlights yet, David Simmonson's last goal, it's well controlled, a nice finish, a nice way to top it all off at Greenwich Avenue.
Yeah, tremendous. I think obviously Dav can score goals from anywhere on the pitch, literally. He has a chance about 5 minutes earlier where he hits it just outside the D of the half and the keeper does excellent to turn it around the post. One thing we've sort of worked with Dav on is when he's in front of goalies, he doesn't have to take the lever off the ball each time and just compose himself and pass it into the net. And that's exactly what he done it with both goals. He composed himself and just rolled it into the corner. So for me, that's excellent from Dav. Great ball by Cass. And it was great to see it work and come off. So our homework was right. And the boys executed everything that we asked them to do.
And it's been a couple of months or so since we last caught up. And safe to say, I think when we spoke last time, we were just outside the playoff positions. I mean, there's not much separating everyone from that playoff line down towards FC United and Bamber Bridge. But how's this period of time been? Because it feels like, you know, it's been one tough game after another for yourselves. And throwing in the injuries you've had, it must have been tricky.
Yeah, it's been a real tough period for us. I think, like you say, last time we spoke, I think we were going to Warrington Rylands, and if we'd have won that, we'd have gone second in the league, and we ended up losing it, and we went on a bit of a run of, I think it was 6 games without a win. So, look, we've had a tough period. We've had players retire. We've had injuries. But, again, we've had some good results. We've been to Matlock and picked up a good point on the road, and then obviously Saturday as well. So, for me, it's been a period where we've had to stick together and come through it. Like you've said there, we've gone 6 games without a win, and I think we're only 5 or 6 points outside the playoffs. So it just shows that there's nothing between the league. I think, obviously, you've got Radcliffe at the moment who are sort of running away with it. But again, they've had a negative result on Tuesday night at home to Whitby, who we play on Saturday. So teams will go through these periods. They'll lose 5-6 on the bounce, and there'll be nothing between where they were prior to that little run to where they are now. So, and we're no different. I think, obviously, like I said, we could have been 5 or 6 points outside the playoff come the end of play on Saturday, or we could have been 3 points outside the relegation zone. So it just shows. But there's no easy games. I think, obviously, you look at the teams in the bottom there taking points off teams mid-table and up at the top end. I think there's probably a group of, for me, probably 4 or 5 real strong teams. There's a huge collection of teams that there's not a lot against. So, again, anyone on the day can take points off anyone. And we've just got to try and put a little run together now. I think, obviously, I think it's 6 games in a row we've been on the road, which isn't ideal for the club financially. It's not ideal for the players, but we just get through this period and then get back to Borough Park, where our form's been really good. Bar our last game at home, I think we've only dropped 3 points at home, which is a great return. So we've just got to make sure we keep picking up these points on the road as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you know, adjusting the squad to players leaving and players being injured and that kind of thing. Just to mention as well for Dan Wordsworth, because we've not caught up since his decision to retire. I mean, in that win against FC United, there was about four or five players who actually played in FC United's game at Borough Park back in 2015. I mean, it's one of those squads, isn't it, where you have to gently adjust it as time goes on.
Yeah, I think obviously we've got probably an ageing squad now. You're sort of stalwart. You've got your likes of Scotty Allison, who's obviously scored leading scorer in the club's history. You've got Connor Tinian, who's been well over 10 years. You had Dan Wordsworth. These are all players that are huge to us, and losing Dan wasn't just obviously on the pitch. What you lose on the pitch is probably irreplaceable in these days, but what you lose off the pitch is just as important. He's a leader, he's a winner, he sets standards, and he's a great person. And that is a big loss in any dressing room. I think, obviously, if you go through any team and you lose one of your stalwarts mid-season, it's not easy to replace. It's never going to be easy to replace even the end of a season, but obviously you've got a little bit more scope. But when everyone's tied up, who you're looking at, it's always going to be tough. We kind of knew this day was coming. I was hoping he was going to get to the end of the season, but his body just couldn't take any more, and he's going to be tough to replace. But obviously, Cameron Barriebo's come in. We've got now Brookwell playing there. We've got Sam Smith to come back. So I feel like, again, we're in a good place.
And obviously, yeah, I think you mentioned it already about the amount of travelling you've had to do. I mean, you've not been home once throughout November, and actually you're not going to be home now till the Hyde game, are you, again, in early December? So this is quite arduous, to say the least, but you will have a spring in your step, if you can have a spring in your step for these long travels in the coming matches against Whitby and Marine.
Yeah, I think obviously, I spoke about it last night. I'll be honest with you, I don't overlook results, but I'm a big believer in you get the performances and the results will follow. And I think Saturday that showed that. I think if we're not doing the basics right, you can sometimes go away and you can get away with one and nick a 1-0 win, but it catches up with you. I'm a big believer in that, trusting the process and making sure that the performances are right, our dedication's right, the commitment's right, we're in the best shape we can be. And like I say, I think for me, over the last little period, there's been little times where I've questioned a few things, and we've sat down, we've openly had honest conversations. We've had a couple of Saturdays free with Marine and Macclesfield being involved in the FA Trophy and the FA Cup, and we've sat down as a group and we've had honest conversations, and I'm part of that as well. That's not me labelling the players, that's us all as a group, from myself and Terry right the way through to the youngsters who come up and train with us. We've all got to be striving to be the best we can. And for me, like I say, if we strive for the best we can, we'll be absolutely fine. I think if we take our foot off the gas, and that's no different at any football club. I'm not just saying that's working. That's every football club has to strive to be the best they can, and they can produce performances week on week, then results will come. You can have the best performance. We looked at, we had two wins at home against Lancaster and FC United with probably two of our worst performances of the season with the football. But they were resilient and they stood up to every challenge that was thrown at them. We then go to Marsk and we just give up three goals easily, and that can't happen. So, like I say, we've had honest conversations. I believe that if you keep pushing the performance, the results will come, and you can get onto a sustained period of good performances, the results will follow, and you can then obviously back it up with 3 points on a consistent basis.
Well, obviously, Whitby and Marine, it's there's easier games, isn't there, in the next couple of matches, that's for sure. But looking forward to this challenge?
Yeah, definitely. For me, probably two of the hardest away games you can have. Two teams that really are good at home. I think, obviously, a lot of respect for both clubs and managers and the way they play and things like that. And we know it's going to be tough. Obviously, we've done really well in the FA Cup. They've had a fantastic result on Tuesday night. There's no hiding how hard Saturday is going to be. But again, we've got to go there. We've got to play the way we did on Saturday, play to our strengths and nullify their weaknesses, as you would every week. So it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game Tuesday night as well. But we've got full belief in our squad that we create chances week in, week out against anyone. And if we can take some of them chances and keep the back door shut and defend the way I know we can, then I'm confident we'll go down there and get some points on the road.
Well, Danny Granger, manager of Workington, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us on this week's show. Congratulations again for that brilliant win in Nottinghamshire on Saturday against Basford. All the best in the coming matches, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Danny Granger there, manager of Workington, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. So that's all the results with regards to the trophy and the league. And we'll be hearing from Thomas Feeney in a second or two. We are pre-recording this bit of the show on Wednesday with James Hayes. So James, just your usual social media channels for this weekend, just in case, but certainly to keep across all the matches on Saturday afternoon as well.
Yeah, so for X, formerly known as Twitter, it's Northern Premier League. And then on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, it's official Northern Premier.
Good stuff. Well, James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us this week. You have a lovely weekend and we'll be catching up again soon.
Cheers, Ben.
Well, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's edition of the NPL show. But it's now time to look into the future. And joining me here, it's the future himself. It's Mr. Thomas Feeney, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines. Hello, Thomas. Welcome back to the show.
Hello. Nice to be back, mate.
Now, we should say, just to let everyone know, we're pre-recording this show, not just on Thursday, but Thursday morning. Thomas is off on an errand today, and I've got an errand of my own to do. So if we both sound a bit more tired than normal, that's why. But we're going to inject some energy into your podcast, listen, and bring you some fixtures for this weekend in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. Kicking things off, let's go with Radcliffe. They're hosting Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge with a very hard-earned point on Tuesday night, down to 10 men for the majority of that second half, managed to not just secure the point, but were also unlucky not to win the game against FC United. Radcliffe, though, picked up a defeat on Tuesday against Whitby. What's your thoughts?
Well, it's all about the reaction now, isn't it, for Radcliffe? I think they've built such an advantage and such a lead, but a couple of disappointing results and all of a sudden other teams would be near them. So it's going to be really interesting to see just how that reaction is. And, you know, I think Bamber Bridge are one of those teams where you look at the squad and you look at what's there. It's been a disappointing season so far for the team, but it's only one loss in their last five league games. And again, that was against Whitby Town, who proved how good they are with not only the FA Cup run, but obviously the win against Radcliffe in midweek. So this is going to be a really tough game for Johnson and Morley. And I think it's one of those where it really will, it will test the mentality of the side, because they've kind of just had momentum throughout the season. Tuesday felt like a bit of a bumper for them, and it's all about how they overcome that.
Yes, and not just Bamber Bridge this weekend for Radcliffe, but they've got Guiseley away next week, and then obviously the FA Trophy. So it's like we discussed with Jono in last week's interview. It's about each game as it comes, isn't it? And it is a challenging period for Radcliffe, but they are top of the table at the moment, 7 points clear, and a big game against Bamber Bridge on Saturday. Watching on will be Warrington Rylands. They're hosting Basford United on Saturday. And, well, Basford United, they took on Workington, and James Jepson will be wanting a reaction. But Warrington Rylands, brilliant result against Worksop, and they've got that brilliant defensive record as well.
Yeah, and I think it's obviously they lost to Guiseley a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, it ended what had been a really impressive run of results for the side. And it was all about, you looked at the next couple of games and thought, Ilkeston away, Worksop at home, they're two really tough matches. To gain 6 points out of it, Clegg will be delighted with how they've responded. And again, it's an interesting one for Rylands, because they've no real pressure on themselves. I think a lot of people have thought, you know, Radcliffe should be able to just kind of keep winning and keep doing it. But Warrington, now, if they can just keep, you know, getting the wins themselves, and when Radcliffe do slip up, if they can be in a position nearer the end of the season where they're able to take full advantage, it's almost an ideal position for them. They've got the momentum, but they've not got the pressure that normally goes with it.
And Worksop Town, they're the team beneath Warrington Rylands now. They're all tied heading into last weekend's matches in the league. But the goal difference, I mentioned Warrington Rylands' defence, but Worksop, they're the team with the goal difference, that's for sure. 13 goals better than Warrington Rylands at the moment. And with a game in hand. Worksop Town taking on Marine, though, on Saturday. This is a big game, not just for Worksop Town, but also for Marine. I mentioned games in hand. Well, Marine are the kings of the games in hand at the moment. They've got four games in hand over Geyser, over Macclesfield. They've got three games in hand over Worksop. They don't want the gap to the playoff line getting too far ahead of them, though. It is 6 points at the moment.
Yeah, you know, I think you look at Worksop's home form. It's been absolutely incredible this season so far, and that is the reason why they're pushing up the league and where they are. But then you have a look at Marine, and if there was one team that really didn't need a little bit more time off, it was Marine, because obviously another team that had a nice little run in the cup, and how that can affect a season going forward. But if there's a manager who knows how to kind of counteract that and kind of be involved in so many competitions and the benefits that go with it, and obviously a club like Marine, for what happened a few years ago, they are the side. So I think they will be in a position where they'll go, do you know what? Yeah, if we win all our games, you know, we'll be easily in the playoffs at the minute, but they obviously won't be looking that far ahead. And I think, you know, I would say there's joint games of the day this weekend, and I think this has to be one of them, because it just feels such an important match for both teams.
I was going to say, though, Thomas, and you preempted me, you know where I'm going next. Macclesfield against Geisler. This, to me, feels like a massive game. Proper boom, banger, bang stuff. That's right, I've said it, everyone. Hashtag boom, banger, bang. This game, and it's so intriguing as well on many levels. Macclesfield, brilliant result in the FA Trophy. But Geisley bouncing back the way they did on Tuesday night, what a result against Matlock. Fourth hosting fifth. This is game of the weekend.
Well, I will counteract that and say joint game of the weekend. I've already put my marker down, but it's such a massive game, and it really is. And I think you look at Macclesfield, that 1-1 draw against Basford United, they've been so disappointed, kind of with the performance as well, because it wasn't one of those games where Macclesfield were, you know, had an abundance of chances. But then that win against Alfreton, and then, you know, a 6-0 at home on a Tuesday night, you can't go wrong with that, can you? And then you look at Geisley, obviously felt a bit wronged after the FC United game, conceding so late with a penalty that, you know, some would give and some wouldn't. And then it was all about a reaction, and they got just that against Matlock Town, one of the teams in the league where I know that Margaret's wasn't available, but it was still going to always be a really tough game. So I feel like both teams are going into this one with real momentum based on the last game, just in terms of the circumstance of the wins. And now it all kind of all comes to a head and see what happens. But, you know, you look at Geisley, the next couple of games are really, really tough ones. Ilkeston midweek and then Radcliffe the weekend after. So it's going to be a very interesting few weeks for both teams.
Absolutely. And with Macclesfield and Geisley taking on each other this weekend, and plus as well with Worksop taking on Marine as well, which is by no means a gimme, there is an opportunity for those teams, and there's plenty of them just outside the playoffs, to either get themselves into the playoff positions at 5 o'clock on Saturday, or certainly close to that playoff line, that's for sure. And one of those teams is obviously Hyde United, but another of those teams is Morpeth Town. Hyde United taking on Morpeth Town this weekend. This is Hyde and Morpeth's 18th game of the season. So it matters, matches like this one.
It definitely does. And I think, you know, with just how kind of close that table is, the teams that are just in the playoff places and the teams all the way down to 16th, I'm looking and thinking a team goes on a small run of form, it doesn't have to be much special, they're going to be right in contention for a playoff place in a couple of weeks' time. So these are the games where teams, you know, they know not only can they gain the big 3 points, but they can also take some momentum and, you know, take a win off one of the rivals. And I think for both Hyde United and Morpeth Town, they'll know just how important this game is this weekend.
Did you say 16th? Oh, bless you. Bless you, Thomas. FC United currently in 16th. Still in with a chance, as Thomas has just said there. They're taking on...
You owe me money now for that.
I owe you money, yes. FC United taking on Matlock Town this weekend. Matlock Town obviously will be wanting to bounce back. There's only 2 points outside the playoff positions. For FC, it's 7 points. But FC, at one point, this is what we were talking about, how close this league table is. At one point on Tuesday, they were in 11th. A couple of results, as Thomas says, it just propels you up the table. It's going to be an interesting game, this one, see how Matlock do and how they react to that midweek defeat. But FC United, they've started to get some momentum going after a bit of a stumble in October and early November.
Yeah, and you know, I think the 0-0 draw against Lancaster, you kind of look and go, you know, could it have been 3 points? Maybe it could, maybe it couldn't. But then all of a sudden you throw that in with the Geisley win. Obviously the 3-3 midweek, you look and go, do you know what? It's 3 unbeaten. It's something to build on and try and build on it. And for Matlock, I've got to say, they lost, you know, obviously 4-0 on Tuesday, but it was one of them games where they had chances. And when you've got a player like Jonathan Margaret's not available for that game, with the amount of goals he's got, you would think he would have scored at least one of the chances that was there. So I think for Matlock, you know, it'll be one of those where it's not a time to panic, but obviously, you know, they want to correct that wrong as soon as they can.
And for Ashton United, who are currently in seventh position, they too will be looking on for that Matlock result there. But also, obviously, Macclesfield against Guiseley. Ashton United with a decent chance this weekend of getting themselves back into the playoff positions. That said, there's easier places to go to. They're travelling to Atherton Coles. Atherton Coles will be smarting from that midweek game at the Moss Rose. There is a gap, isn't there, between that bottom five and the rest of the division. And for Atherton Coles, they don't want it to get too far away. Otherwise, well, we've seen it in previous years, what happens if you get caught adrift down towards the bottom end of the table. So David Chadwick's side here will be trying to make it really uncomfortable for Ashton United and get the 3 points.
Yeah, you know, I think for Atherton, it's kind of, they feel like a bit of a wounded animal going into this one just after that loss against Macclesfield. And it's how they react to it. Do they go, do you know what? We're playing, you know, one of the teams of the league. We can't get kind of overbeared by that. We have to go in now to a big game against the Ashton United side, who, while unbeaten, you know, I think 4 games out of 5, they've not lost. They've not won any of them. You know, they've drawn 4 out of 5. So they'll be looking at that and thinking, if there's a time to play Ashton, it probably is now. And I think Dave Chadwick will just want a reaction. It's as simple as that. Tuesday night was not a good night for the team. If they can show something from it, all of a sudden, you know, if they were to win this, you'd go 3 points out of Macclesfield and Ashton United. It isn't a bad run out of them 2 games.
I was going to say, the last time I can think of where Atherton were smarting after a result, it was after the Mask game. And they then followed that up by beating FC United at Broadhurst Park. So Atherton Coles taking on Ashton United. We've also got Whitby Town. Whitby Town hosting Workington. Workington with an away victory, obviously, against Basford United this past week. Whitby, though, they're kind of demonstrating to Marine what you could do with games in hand. They're 3 points outside the playoffs, and have reacted really well to their FA Cup exit. And here they are with a chance of potentially getting themselves into the player positions at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Tough game, though, this one against Workington.
Definitely. You know, I think with Whitby as well, you've got to commend them in that not only did they have that cup run, they've never in the league felt like they've lost the momentum. You know, their last defeat was against Macclesfield, and that was a really close game. And I think they've only lost twice in a row once. You know, normally teams go in these cup runs and kind of they do take their eyes off the league just a little bit. That hasn't happened this season. And I think with Workington, they've shown what they're about. Their losses before, you know, a really tough game against Gainsborough, a really tough game against Guiseley, if you ignore the Mask United result, and then obviously that really good win against Basford. So I think the last couple of weeks, Workington have shown they've got plenty of fight in them going into, you know, this now. This feels like a real crucial part of the season for all the teams involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's everyone in the top half of the table. Let's go to Ilkeston now, who are in 12th on 23 points. That's 6 points outside the playoffs. Ilkeston this weekend, they take on Stafford Rangers. And Stafford Rangers, obviously, with the change that's happened with the coaching staff, with Matt Hill departing, we're pre-recording this on Thursday. If there's any breaking news at Marston Road, then well done for getting that information before we do here on the podcast. But they've got something to hold on to after that Brackley Town match in the FA Trophy, I think, Stafford Rangers. It was a gutsy performance. Taking on Ilkeston, though, Ilkeston, they'll be wanting to get themselves involved in this playoff race.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Ilkeston go on a nice little run, they'll be well in there. If they go on a bad run, a couple of good results you one way and a couple of bad ones you the other. And, you know, I think with Stafford, it was disappointing to see Matt Hill leave, in the sense of he's such a nice guy and what he's been able to do. But obviously, it is a results-based business. And I think he would admit himself, the results just were not coming. And you just felt like with Stafford, it was kind of week by week, right, they've lost again. You know, where is this win going to come from? That game against Brackley, it showed a real resilience within that group. And I think put a bit of a marker down for the standards that they need to set now for the rest of the season, because to play Brackley, you know, a good National League North team, and to be so close to getting that win, it shows what they can achieve going forward.
Yes, and well, speaking of managerial departures, let's go to Lancaster City now. And as we pre-record this, we're waking up to the news that Mark Fell has left the Giant Axe. And well, Mark Fell, a cracking manager and an avid listener of the show and a brilliant guest, leaving Lancaster City, just sending our best to Mark. I think during the COVID season, when we did those special podcasts, Matt got our manager of the season that year. So he has done a cracking job at Lancaster. It's going to be interesting to see how they adapt to this new era at the club, taking on Bradford Park Avenue this weekend. This is going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it throws just a massive story involved in this, doesn't it? And I think you're praising Mark Fell. I've got to praise him as well for just what an incredible job he did there. And kind of whenever you watched his teams play, you could see the identity of the team. You kind of knew what was going. And what I will say is I think there'll be plenty of teams looking, going, do you know what? Mark Fell's now available. You know, let's have a look and see what's going to happen. But this is another one of those games where you talk about a reaction to the change of management and see what happens with that. And they're obviously playing Bradford Park Avenue side who have lost the last three league games, and they're in a position where they're kind of doing phone interviews to try and whittle down candidates for their management role. So it's two managerless teams going into this weekend as of time of speaking.
And that's the crucial thing to say. At time of recording, don't get in touch with the show because we're not able to bring you any breaking news. Well, let's go to Gainsborough Trinity now. Gainsborough Trinity, they'll be travelling to Mask United. And we've covered off Stafford Rangers and Atherton Coles. But Bradford Park Avenue, Baseford and Mask all seem to be a bit further along, both in the league table and with regards to form. Games involving Mask, Baseford and Bradford Park Avenue at the moment are tricky games, I have to say. This is a tricky game for Gainsborough Trinity, especially as it's away from home. But Gainsborough haven't been too bad away from home of late.
No, I think, you know, Russ Wilcox has gone in and shown why he's regarded as a good manager. Steadied the ship, some decent results, some decent performances. And I think Gainsborough, it feels to me like they're a team that definitely are looking up the table again, rather than kind of having their eyes looking further down. And you talk about the trickiness of it for Mask. At the minute, they're looking and thinking, do you know what? One win, we're out them relegation places. But obviously, it's five teams that have been cut adrift, and it's that worry for one of those teams is going to actually go, do you know what? We're going to win four in a row. And then all of a sudden, the bottom four would very much be set, and it'd make it a much tougher job for any of them teams to get out of the relegation places. So it is a really important game for Mask, and, you know, we'll have to see what happens.
Yes, well, there are all the matches on Saturday. Midweek games, Bamber Bridge taking on Worksop Town, Hyde United against Gainsborough Trinity, Ilkeston hosting Geisler, Lancaster will be taking on Whitby Town, it's Marine against Workington, and probably game of Tuesday night, Stafford Rangers against Atherton Coles, a big game there down towards the bottom end of the table. But Thomas Fina, a big thank you for joining us early on Thursday morning. And just before you go, just a quick plug for your work. And of course, there will be Geisley Radio commentary as well coming up over Saturday and on Tuesday night's game as well. So just a quick plug for everything.
Yeah, if you want to follow me on whatever that social media brand is called, it's at Thomas Fina. And yes, Geisley Radio will be at all the games coming up, and hopefully momentum will be kept.
Well, Thomas Fina, big thank you for joining us on this week's show. Have a lovely weekend, and we'll be catching up again soon.
Same to you, mate.
And a big thank you to Thomas Feeney for joining me on this week's show. And that's it for the Pitching In NPL show for another week. A big thank you to James and all the managers who've joined me on this week's edition of the show as well. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.